Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking newspaper for the week ending Saturday the 23rd of August. This is Janet and your other readers are Alan, Christopher and Brian. The editor this week is Samida. All are members of Team 3. Most of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442 unless stated otherwise. The headlines this week are Save Community Barn from Housing, Cancellation Due to Risks, An Unusual Career, Care Home Plan Rejected, Making the Grade. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, this is Alan. Campaigners are objecting to plans revealed by Hertfordshire County Council that would see the closed-down Heath Barn in Hemel Hempstead turned into a housing development. Residents want the building to be reused as it is a Grade 2 listed property which was previously used as a music school. Last year, Hertfordshire Council, which owns the property, submitted plans to convert the barn into 5 homes. Under the council's proposal, the property would be converted into 1 two-bedroom house, 2 three-bedroom properties, and 2 four-bed homes, all of different sizes. Since the plans were formally submitted, 172 residents have objected to the plans. This includes campaigners who met last Saturday at Blackbird's Moor for a rally promoting their alternative plans for the buildings, which have existed in Hertfordshire since the 16th and 17th centuries. An architectural company that submitted the planning application on behalf of the council highlighted a need for more housing in the area as a reason why the proposal should go ahead. The company said that building dwellings in the area would bring the site back into use, noting that the site was last used to conduct music lessons over 6 years ago. Vincent and Gorbing, the businesses behind the application, also said that a council planning officer would support the proposals in principle when the plans were first discussed. However, campaigners still believe in Decorum would be rather better served if the area was renovated into becoming a community hub. They would like to see the barn used as a community centre which could also include a cafe. It has been noted by objectors that the barn is located near to a multi-use games area that has been open to the public and could be complemented by the barn if it was also reopened for community activities. Campaigners have noticed that residents have fond memories of the barn, which was used for school music classes between 1950 and 2019, and that it was also used to host weddings and christenings. We believe Heath Barn holds far greater value for the wider community than as private dwellings, said campaign spokesman Lisa Thomas. Our vision is to create a friendly, inclusive space where people of all ages can gather, create, connect, and feel a sense of belonging. We see it as a long-term investment in local well-being, heritage, and culture. According to people involved in the project, work has been undertaken by a heritage consultant, and a structural survey was carried out so that as much of the original fabric of the building can be maintained as part of the conversion and enable features that have been hidden by later works to be exposed again. A heritage inspection authorised as part of the housing plan states that the project would secure new long-term functions for these buildings, the planning statement says. Planners also say the project would result in the loss of a small number of trees. Flood and drainage plans have also been written up in connection with the project, and it is believed that the homes would be accessible due to existing nearby bus stops and train services.
Hello, this is Chris. A planned camp run by Aluvayat Islamic Mission, AIM, at Faisal's Wood Activity Centre near King's Langley has been cancelled due to safety concerns, a spokesperson for the Scouts has said. The camp for children aged 9 to 14, which was set to be held between August the 22nd and the 25th at the Scout Run site, had been criticised by representatives of Reform UK branches in Hertfordshire, who argued that AIM has clear and troubling ties to the Iranian revolutionary regime. Videos shared on AIM's social media accounts include praise for Ayatollah Khomeini, Iran's supreme leader, and criticism of media outlets including the BBC, Sky News and CNN, which they appear to refer to as Zionist propaganda stations. According to The Times, in one post, AIM called Qasim Soleimani, an Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps commander killed in a US drone strike, a great hero. Concerns about the camp were also raised by Conservative County Councillor Caroline Clapper, as well as UK lawyers for Israel and Lord Walney, the government's former extremism advisor. A spokesman for the Scouts confirmed on Wednesday that the camp had been cancelled. They said, "The safety of young people, volunteers and the public is Hertfordshire Scouts' highest priority." Following increased public attention surrounding a booking by AIM, we have become concerned about our ability to fully secure the perimeter of our large site against potential third-party disruption. This could compromise the safe and smooth operation of the site during the scheduled weekend. After conducting a thorough risk assessment, we have concluded that the situation poses a safety risk to all individuals intending to use the facility during that time. As a result, we have reviewed the AIM booking with Faisal's Wood Activity Centre and can confirm that it has been cancelled. It is understood that the Scouts' concerns about potential third-party disruption were part of a proactive risk assessment rather than a response to any specific plans. Responding to the cancellation, an AIM spokesperson said, "Children are being punished simply for their faith and accused foreign political lobby groups, media outlets and far-right thugs of making unfounded allegations that heighten the risk and encourage harm to children in the UK." They continued, "For over a decade, Camp Wilaya has been a cherished space where our children could enjoy the outdoors, grow in their values and form lifelong friendships. Many of those who attended Camp Wilaya are now doctors, plumbers, teachers, engineers and public servants, proud citizens who give back to Britain every single day. No evidence of wrongdoing has ever been found at Camp Wilaya. To attack such a wholesome and positive tradition is shameful." They accused Reform UK of Islamophobia and of threatening to mobilise protests and disrupt the camp, a claim that has been denied by a Reform UK spokesperson. Keith Steers, chair of Reform UK's South West Hertfordshire branch, had organised the party's letter calling for the Scouts to stop Camp Wilaya from going ahead. He said he is very pleased that the camp has been cancelled and continued, "We at Reform UK Hertfordshire will always stand up and hold to account organisations that go against the values and morals of the UK. We will work tirelessly to prevent children from having their childhoods taken away by teachings and ideologies that do not align with that which the majority of the citizens in this country see as appropriate.
Hello, this is Brian. A taxidermist based out of Bovingdon says he is extremely lucky to have been able to turn his unusual hobby into a very successful profession. Simon Wilson, aged 62, who runs his own business, Animatronic Animals Limited, says he was influenced by the Natural History Museum in Tring when he started stuffing animals at the age of 9. Now, 50 years later, has spent his working life completing quirky projects and travelling the world, working behind the scenes on films, working out of his studio in Bovingdon. Although he normally works alone, Simon does bring in people to help on some projects, which have included work on blockbusters like Harry Potter, Robin Hood, and the Tomb Raider films. He has also trained animals for commercials, movies, and other projects. One of my highlights was putting a snake around Cher's neck for an album cover. It's a man's world, he recalled. He has fond memories of the Natural History Museum in Tring, which he says is still his favourite. I was always at the Natural History Museum with my parents, Simon said, and I always go there because I think it is much better than the London one, which is all posters. Simon's company supplies taxidermy and models of animals in either rigid fiberglass or flexible rubber or natural skin for the film and television industry and museum exhibitions. Recalling how his hobby turned into a profession, Simon said, "A year after I said to my dad that I would like to stuff animals, my dad said my foreman's son is a taxidermist, and did I want to see how he does it? I met him, and it went from there." His big break came when the owner of an animal agency contacted him and asked him for a stuffed chicken for a film. "I went and met him. He had lots of animals, and he realised I could handle them," Simon recalled. "He asked if I would like to work with him, so I did that for 8 years, which included TV programmes such as The Big Breakfast. I then went off on my own, doing that and taxidermy. As I got older, I got fed up chasing animals around rooms, so I concentrated on taxidermy." Simon is often working 7 days a week to keep up with the demand for his services, and says with jobs for movies, he often doesn't get the timescale he would ideally want. To do taxidermy on movies, you have to be prepared to work 7 days a week and work all night if you have to, he explained. Film companies often leave things to the last minute and then ask for 2 weeks' work in 2 days. "I recently finished a job where I was asked for a stuffed lion, a model of a tiger, a model of a black panther, and a stuffed leopard within a month. I did it, but it was hard work." Simon plans to continue his work as a taxidermist for as long as he is physically able, and has this advice for those planning to follow in his footsteps. "Animal agencies are always looking for people, so just go for it," he said. "To do it as a career, you really have to get into doing it for TV and film. If it wasn't for movies, I would have been doing it as a hobby in my garden shed."
Plans to build a 67-bed nursing home for people with dementia on the outskirts of Berkhamsted have been rejected by Decorum Borough Council's Development Management Committee. At a meeting on July the 31st, councillors agreed to back a recommendation from council officers that they should refuse to grant planning permission for the development. Berkham Oaks Dementia Care had wanted to build the home at Bullbourne Wood off New Road in Northchurch. It would have offered 67 beds, with half of those considered affordable and available to those on the County Council's waiting list. But planning officers deemed its Great Green Belt location to be inappropriate and suggested the developer had not provided adequate evidence that it was not possible to build the home on a site outside the Chilterns Area of Outstanding Natural Beauty. Concerns were also raised about the proposal to remove more than 150 trees in the area of the proposed building, which has a tree preservation order in place. Councillor Fiona Guest said, "No one will argue about the need for specialist dementia care within Decorum, but this is not the place for it." Her words were echoed by Councillor Caroline Smith Wright, who suggested the location could be a fire hazard given the number of nearby trees, and added, "There is a need, but I'm not sure this is the right place for it." Councillors had earlier listened to a plea from the applicant to approve their outline application. They said, "This is for a highly specialist facility for those with advanced dementia. There is a significant existing and future need for this type of care, but it is simply not being delivered elsewhere in Decorum. Why are similar nursing homes not coming forward on less constrained sites?" The answer to that is that the high land values on those sites will always favour more profitable care homes and assisted living. These are always 100% private market rate, with limited or no nursing care, and this contrasts with our proposal with full nursing care and 50% affordable bed spaces. They said the applicant had considered every potential site within 5 miles of the proposal and dismissed one of the alternative sites suggested by council officers at West Hemel Hempstead as far too cramped for the proposed home, with the landowner asking for too much to allow for either nursing care or for affordable bed spaces. The applicant concluded, "Families are already having to place loved ones far from home, and the system is under growing pressure. If you turn this down tonight, nothing happens. The site stays empty, but the need doesn't go away. Families will keep suffering. NHS beds will stay blocked, and the chance to fix that will be lost." One member of the public who spoke to object to the plans, Anne Smith, said she had 20 years' experience in running care homes and dementia care. She said the surrounding woodland, the poor access and distance from the local community, meant it would not give residents a good quality of life. Ms. Smith continued, "Dementia causes misidentifications and hallucinations. Trees and their shadows can become a malevolent presence or a trip hazard for many. Living in a woodland may cause distressing emotions." Ben Kent, chair of the North Church Common Residents Association, also objected to the scheme. He said it was inevitable that the home would cause an overspill of parking into New Road, causing safety issues. Hertfordshire County Council's Highways Department did not object to the final proposals. The home would have had 24 car parking spaces with the equivalent of 94 full-time staff once developed. The applicant had said they would either ensure an on-site bus stop for the HeartLink's on-demand service or run their own minibus to transport staff and visitors from Berkhamsted Railway Station.
Laureate Academy in Hemel Hempstead is thrilled to announce outstanding A-level results for the 2024-25 academic year. Marking a significant improvement from the previous year and setting new records for the school. The school achieved a perfect 100% pass rate, that is A star to E grades, with an impressive 69% of students securing A star to C grades. The average grade rose from D plus in 2023-24 to C plus this year, representing a full grade improvement. Moreover, the school's value added score jumped from minus 0.24 to plus 0.27, a remarkable increase of over 0.5%. Notably, Laureate Academy reached its highest ever average point score for A-levels at 32 points. The school also saw exceptional performances across various subjects, with physics up 1.8, music up 1.3, mathematics up 0.67, leading the way to positive value-added scores. This year's results have paved the way for several historic achievements. Lauren Fellows has become the first laureate student to secure a place to study medicine, accepting an offer from the University of Southampton with outstanding A-star grades. Similarly, Sam Freeman has made history as the first laureate student to be accepted into the University of Oxford, where he will study physics after achieving A-star, and B grades. Other notable performances include Callum Humphrey, who achieved A-star, AA, contributing to the 12% of students who earned straight A or A-plus grades. Furthermore, 20% of university applicants from Laureate have secured places in the prestigious Russell Group of universities. As Laureate Academy celebrates these impressive results, the school looks forward to building on this success in the coming years, continuing to provide excellent education and opportunities for its students. Noteworthy results were also achieved at Adeyfield Academy, Berkhamsted 6th, Tring Park, and Longdean Schools. Decorum Talking Newspapers, congratulations to all the students and their schools.
This week in history, August the 23rd, 1960, Oscar Hammerstein II, American lyricist, died. His collaboration with Richard Rodgers to produce Oklahoma in 1943 changed the whole form and shape of the musical. They followed with South Pacific, The King and I, and The Sound of Music. August the 24th, 2006, the International Astronomical Union, IAU, redefined the term planet such that Pluto was then considered a dwarf planet. On the 20th of August, 2024, a manslaughter investigation had been opened into the deaths of seven people in the sinking of a luxury yacht off the coast of Sicily. An Italian prosecutor said, British technical moguls Mike Lynch and his 18-year-old daughter Hannah were among six people recovered after the Bayesian superyacht sank near Porticello at about 5 a.m. local time on the Monday. August the 25th, 1978, the Shroud of Turin went on show for the first time on the high altar at St. John's Cathedral in Turin. August the 26th, 1952, the Soviet Union announced that the first successful intercontinental ballistic missile tests had taken place. On August the 27th, 1966, Francis Chichester left Plymouth in Gypsy Moth 4 on his single-handed voyage around the world. And lastly, on the 20th of August 2024, Liam and Noel Gallagher said that they would reunite for Oasis's long-awaited reunion with a worldwide tour in 2025, beginning in Cardiff.
Officers have recommended approval of a development of up to 150 homes in Kings Langley, with the green light set to be given this week, despite a number of objections. The Decorum Borough Council officers have recommended that members of the authority's Development Management Committee vote to grant planning permission for the homes on land north of Chipperfield Road at their meeting on Thursday, August 21st. An outline application has been submitted for the homes on a site which has been deemed to be grey belt by planning officers. While the site is within the green belt, it is deemed grey belt by planning officers for not strongly contributing to the purposes of the green belt. The land is between the A41 and King's Langley Secondary School and would also see a farmstead garden to be run by the school and Sunnyside Rural Trust, created with a cafe, farm shop, therapy gardens and animals. Access would be from Chipperfield Road and highway works would be carried out as part of the proposal, including speed bumps on Chipperfield Road and the widening of nearby footpaths. Half of the proposed homes would be affordable according to the government definition of the term. Councils are expected to demonstrate a 5-year housing land supply, but Decorum currently only has a housing land supply of 1.03 years, making it harder for the authority to block new developments. More than 230 members of the public have written to the council to object to the proposal, with objections also received from King's Langley Parish Council, Chipperfield Parish Council, UK Power Networks, the Children's Society, CPRE Hertfordshire and King's Langley and District Residents Association. Hertfordshire County Council's growth and infrastructure objected on the basis that there is not sufficient capacity for new primary school pupils in King's Langley, but concluded that their objection could be overcome if the developer pays more than £550,000 towards providing temporary classrooms.
Hertfordshire County Council is forecasting a £3.1 million underspend on its 2024-25 services budget after the inclusion of a £20 million contingency. The authority had initially set a revenue budget totalling £1.119 billion, which was increased to £1.169 billion over the 12 months. That was used to run a range of services that include services for adults and children, highways, public health, trading standards and the fire and rescue service. Data presented to the latest meeting of the council's cabinet shows that at the end of the 24-25 financial year, the council is now forecasting a £3.1 million underspend overall. That includes the use of £20 million within the budget that had been earmarked as contingency. According to the report, the largest overspends within the 24-25 budget overall were in adult disability services at £11.5 million, primarily related to supported living services and placements for looking after children at £13 million. Demand and complexity of need in social care services are said to have been far higher than in previous years. In the last 3 months of the financial year, the report says financial controls were tightened in social care services, which helped to prevent, reduce and find mitigations where possible. Commenting on the revenue budget overall, the report states, like many upper-tier councils across the country, we are facing significant increases in demand and complexity of need across social care services. While we are not in the same position as some other councils who have declared financial distress and are receiving exceptional government support, we have and will continue to take proactive steps to maintain our position and reputation as a responsible and well-run organisation with strong financial management. In the last 3 months of the financial year, proactive financial management has been able to reverse the projected overspend into an underspend position. The continuation of stronger financial controls will be a necessity to ensure the 25-26 and all future years' budgets remain sustainable. According to the report, in 24-25, the council delivered £41.7 million of the £46 million of savings that had been planned, equivalent to around 90%. It says the forecast is for most of the savings unachieved in 24-25 to be delivered by 27-28. In addition, it was reported proactive action plans delivered a further £10 million of savings during the 12 months. A spokesperson for Hertfordshire County Council said the council prides itself on delivering services within the scope of funds allocated as part of the budget setting process. We are pleased that the current forecast shows that we will deliver an underspend against the baseline budget and previously agreed contingency. Meanwhile, the report also records that the school's budget has overspent by £8.52 million in 24-25 as a result of an overspend of £12.34 million in the high needs budget. According to the report, the budget, known as the Dedicated Schools Grant, had been approved with a planned deficit of £18 million. It says the spend is £26.5 million higher than the level of funding received for 24-25. By the end of 25-26, the report suggests that the deficit will have increased to £81 million, and it suggests the associated borrowing costs in 25-26 will be £2.5 million. By the end of 28-29, it estimates the cumulative deficit will have reached £387 million, with borrowing costs of £16.5 million.
Hertfordshire County Council was inundated with over 33,000 requests for adult social care assistance in the last financial year, representing a 20% increase since pre-COVID levels. The Council's fourth quarter performance report was discussed at a meeting of the Adult Care, Health and Wellbeing Cabinet Panel. The report stated there was a notable increase in front door demand. He added, new requests for support rose to 33,641, marking a 2% increase from 2023 to 24, and a significant 20% rise from pre-COVID levels. Despite the increase in demand, the report noted that first needs assessments were being carried out on time, with adults waiting an average of 12 days, down from 23 days in the previous year, while carers waited 19 days, down from 27. The document went on, needs assessments for adults also saw a 4% increase, totaling 13,864, while carers needs assessments grew by 3% to 2,524. Over 27,000 adults are supported with services, and 15,210 of those adults are receiving long-term care, with the average cost of a long-term care package being £872. Reports of safeguarding concerns reached 8,665, down by 2% compared to the previous year, and of these, 30% progressed to an inquiry, 2,780 cases. In addition, adult social care received 6,404 deprivation of liberty safeguards applications, an increase of 509 from previous year, representing an 8.6% rise. Responding to the report, Councillor Rachel Carter asked officers about safeguarding concerns, adding, on deprivation of liberty, obviously that's a lot of applications. Could you give a bit of background to that? Alex Ogle, Adult Care Services Support Manager, said, as we get a safeguarding concern, as it's called now, that will come in through our safeguarding team, and they will triage that case. There's a sort of three-step process, you know. Is there a concern? Are they eligible? They tend to have to be eligible for support to take it forward. We can take it forward if there is a specific concern to an inquiry, but to get to an actual inquiry, they need to have that kind of eligibility threshold as well for us to deal with it in the council. The majority of safeguarding that we get is in person's own home, about 50%, followed by residential and nursing homes. Most of that from a wider council view. It's a little bit different for our mental health partner. It's neglect and acts of omission, followed by physical abuse, followed by psychological abuse. I mention our mental health partner because they have domestic abuse at the top. Chair of the panel, Councillor Sally Symington, said, I know it's easy to focus on the red issues and the ones that aren't going quite so well for whatever reason and to challenge them. But overall, we must remember that this has been an incredibly high-performing service. All credit to Chris, Badger Head of Adult Social Care, and his team for delivering such an excellent set of figures, really right across the board. That challenge is only going to get greater with the financial constraints that we're facing as a council and the demand figures that we know of and have discussed here.
Labour councillor Ian Albert has called on Hertfordshire County Council to be more transparent about the additional funding required to complete 4 flagship SEND special education needs and disabilities projects. The schemes, the relocation and expansion of Breakspear School in Croxley Green, a satellite site for the Collett School in Hemel Hempstead, the new Journey's End School in Potters Bar, and the relocation of the North Hearts Education Support Centre in Letchworth Garden City, had an initial budget in excess of £50 million. Last month, the Council's Liberal Democrat Cabinet agreed to increase that spending in the wake of escalating costs. Those additional costs were said to reflect higher than inflation increases in building costs, a failure to make a correct application to the Department for Education, and in the case of the Breakspear School, significant additional groundworks necessary to address the chalk infrastructure. However, the amounts involved were not made public, with financial discussions held behind closed doors, first at a meeting of the Council's Education, SEND and Inclusion Cabinet panel, and then the Cabinet. In response to an earlier inquiry by the Local Democracy Reporting Service, a spokesman for the County Council said it would not be prudent to place the costs in the public domain. It was suggested that to do so would hamper the Council's ability to secure value when negotiating projects. Now, Labour Councillor Albert says those amounts, either for individual projects or for the 4 projects collectively, should have been published and should have been discussed by the Council's Resources and Performance Cabinet panel. He suggests the multi-million pound capital spend has implications for the revenue budget too, and he says there is a need for greater transparency. He has already written to Deputy Chief Executive Scott Crudgington, suggesting that at least an overall amount for the projects could have been included in council papers that are publicly available. He told the local Democracy Reporting Service, "For me, the key issues are transparency and financial accountability. All residents and councillors have a right to know how much extra is being spent in total and be able to properly scrutinise it. The former Conservative administration failed to deliver on these key SEND projects, but the new Liberal Democrat administration must be braver when making key decisions to ensure that the cloud of secrecy is lifted, and that even includes when, in principle, you agree with the decisions." In response, a spokesman for Hertfordshire County Council suggested again that publishing the information would hamper contract negotiations. It would not be prudent to place the cost of these projects into the public domain, as to do so would hamper our ability to secure the best value for taxpayers when negotiating contracts, both now and in the future, said a spokesperson.
Decorum Borough Council has announced a partnership with a development company with a view to launching future housing projects. This week, the authority confirmed it had partnered with the Hill Group in what has been described as a long-term investment deal. It is hoped that the formation will lead to the construction of affordable homes and the completion of regeneration projects within the borough. Decorum Borough Council hopes the partnership will help the authority meet targets to increase the number of homes that are classed as affordable within the area. The council has revealed that the housing company will work on a number of sites throughout Decorum, but will have a focus on regenerating Hemel Hempstead Town Centre. The council wants to turn the area into a thriving culture and leisure hub. It is hoped that this can be achieved through the creation of new homes and commercial and leisure sites to re-establish the town centre as a lively and exciting destination for residents, businesses and visitors alike, the council says. Decorum Borough describes Hill as having a strong track record in delivering high-quality sustainable homes, including well-connected communities through residential and mixed-use developments. A spokesperson for the council said the company's experience in placemaking, estate regeneration and delivering large-scale developments in collaboration with local authorities makes it ideally placed to support and implement the council's objectives. The council has revealed that the groups are working on their first business plan. Decorum Borough Council leader, Councillor Sally Symington, said the new Decorum Investment Partnership is a groundbreaking initiative for us as a council. It's an exciting opportunity to work in partnership to develop affordable housing and bring vital regeneration to the borough. Through the collaboration, we aim to identify key potential sites for future development to deliver new homes, commercial spaces, and essential infrastructure. It provides an approach to involve the private sector at an early stage to leverage their expertise from the outset. Andy Hill, Chief Executive of the Hill Group, added, "This partnership marks an exciting chapter for Decorum, and we are proud to bring our expertise to support the borough's housing and regeneration ambitions."
Now we come to the information slot. This includes the obituary, what's on, and any more news. The obituary in the Gazette this week is Rosemary Ann Bladen of Apsley, who passed away peacefully on Friday the 1st of August, aged 78 years. May she rest in peace.
What's on? At the theatre, 3rd to 6th September, A Streetcar Named Desire. Travel back to New Orleans, where family can lead to a tragic clash of illusion and reality at the Denby Theatre Trink. Tickets can be obtained by calling 973 857. Mythos Ragnarok, Theatre Meets Wrestling, 20th September, 7 p.m, Watford Palace Theatre. Hilarious Viking storytelling meets high octane action in this spectacular and critically acclaimed adaptation of Norse mythology. Call 01923 225 671.
What's on at the cinema? Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. A young wizard finds himself competing in a hazardous tournament between rival schools of magic, but he is distracted by recurring nightmares. This is Spinal Tap. Marty DeBerg, a filmmaker and a die-hard fan of Spinal Tap, a British heavy metal band, makes a documentary of their American comeback that includes interviews with each band members. Eddington. In May of 2020, a standoff between a small town sheriff and mayor sparks a powder keg as neighbour is pitted against neighbour in Eddington, New Mexico. Sorry Baby. Blending heartache, humour and healing, this is a stunning and star-making debut from director, writer and actor Eva Victor. The Life of Chuck. A life-affirming, genre-bending story based on Stephen King's novella about three chapters in the life of an ordinary man named Charles Krantz. Materialists. A young, ambitious New York matchmaker finds herself torn between the perfect match and her imperfect ex. All popular films are provided to cinemas with an audio description. Please mention your requirements at the time of booking.
In partnership with the Environment Agency and Affinity Water, the River Gade restoration in Gaybridge Park is entering its final phase. The river has been rerouted through its natural course, transforming the area into a healthier habitat for wildlife and a more beautiful space for people to enjoy. Final works now focus on habitat planting, land restoration and access improvements. Local councillors and council officers have been regularly visiting the site to monitor progress and celebrate key milestones. A temporary chalk stream trail is now open, giving children a fun, educational way to explore this rare natural environment.
A man has appeared in court in connection with several theft and burglary offences allegedly committed in Hemel Hempstead. 51-year-old Scott Morris, of no fixed address, appeared before Hatfield Magistrates Court on August the 18th, charged with dwelling burglary, burglary other, theft from a motor vehicle, vehicle interference, theft by walk-in, sneak-in. A call was made to police on August the 14th reporting a burglary had occurred at a residential address. Following fast time house-to-house and CCTV inquiries, detectives from the Decorum Local Crime Unit discovered three further offences in the same area. A man was identified and swiftly arrested the following day before charges were authorised. He appeared before magistrates where he was remanded in custody ahead of a plea and trial preparation hearing at Luton Crown Court on Monday, September the 15th.
Police are appealing to the public for their assistance in locating a wanted man from Luton with links to Hemel Hempstead. Arman Mahmoud, 20, whose last known address is in Grosvenor Road, Luton, is wanted in relation to a number of offences, including actual bodily harm and false imprisonment. Anyone who sees Mahmoud or has any information about his whereabouts is asked to report information online at hearts.police.uk/report. or speak to an operator in the force communications room via the online web chat at heartspolice.uk/contact or call the non-emergency number 101. Alternatively, you can stay 100% anonymous by contacting the independent charity Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111 or via their untraceable online form at crimestoppers-uk.org.
Findings released by the animal welfare charity show that a 63% increase in the number of beatings reported across the country. New statistics published by the RSPCA reveal that there have been 243 reports of these incidents in Hertfordshire this summer. This represented double the amount reported in 2020. Analysis from the national charity states that its call handlers deal with an animal beating report every 30 minutes. The animal welfare charity is raising the alarm around animal cruelty figures. The RSPCA wants people to be aware that animal cruelty often peaks during the summer months. Across England and Wales, there has been a 105% rise in the reports of beatings in summer over the last 4 years, the charity has revealed. Year on year, the number of beating reports has risen by 10%, and the charity is braced for this to continue to climb this summer, a spokesperson for the charity said. Further data published by the charity shows that dogs were the most likely pet to be beaten, with nearly 21,000 dog beatings reports made. Ian Briggs of the RSPCA said, "These are really distressing and stark figures. One report of an animal being beaten every half an hour is a horrible thought, but sadly this is the reality in summer when our cruelty line receives a beating report every 30 minutes. It isn't clear why there has been such a dramatic increase in abuse against animals, but what is clear is that animals are suffering at the hands of people on a much bigger scale than people realise. This is why our summer cruelty campaign is so important, to highlight that for thousands of animals, summer is a season of pain and suffering when cruelty peaks. As the RSPCA braces to help tackle animal cruelty, we need your help now more than ever to continue to rescue animals in desperate need of care. We're finding that CCTV footage, doorbell cameras and smartphones are providing a view into society that we never had before, meaning that animal beatings are more likely to be caught on camera in supermarket car parks, on streets, in lifts and even behind closed doors in the home, giving us the evidence we need to be able to seek justice for animals. This could account for the rise that we are seeing, as these awful abusers are more likely to be caught on camera, uploaded to social media, or reported directly to us. Data compiled for the RSPCA's report covers the months of June, July, and August. In total, call handlers from the charity took 34,401 calls relating to animal cruelty in these months last year. The RSPCA says that summer should be a season of joy for animals, long walks on golden evenings, zoomies on the beach, stretching out in the garden to soak up the sun. But there's a side to summer you don't see. For thousands of animals, it's a season of pain, fear, and suffering when cruelty peaks.
And now sports news. The latest action from Hemel Hempstead Town Cricket Club, First 11A versus Broxbourne Championship. There was little surprise that a run of four wins in a row came to an end away at unbeaten top of the championship, Broxbourne. They won the toss and batted first, scoring 280 for 8 from their 50 overs. finishing the season in the limited over mode with their opener James Logan scoring 139 from 146 balls. Hemel bowlers struggled, and it was Ollie Illiott with 4 for 52 from 9 overs who showed best. Holidays had taken out a few players, and Kavindu Madarishna opening, who topped the runs with 53, 6 fours, 1 6. Having blooded U15 Lucas Burton last week, this week U16 Lutero Corrigan gained his first 11 league cap. It was Lucas Burton batting down at number 9 that impressed, scoring 28, 2 fours, 1 6, and putting on 62 for the 8th wicket with Mark Brazier, 34. Hemel all out for 193 in 48.2 overs. Hemel down to 6 in the championship. Broxbourne naturally remained top. Second 11H versus Potton Town, first 11 Division 3A. Bragging rights returned to the second 11 as they secured their 4th win on the bounce and moved up to 3rd in Division 3A. Batting first, Potton were dismissed for 157 in 39.3 overs, with Charlie Hoskins, 4 for 32, and Jacob Hodgins, 3 for 18, leading the way. Although Potton took a couple of wickets, Aaron Wilson made 36 from 43 balls, and then Brad Finch, 43, and Nick Hodgins, 34, put on 70 for the 5th wicket to see Hemel to 159 for 4 from 36.3 overs. 3rd 11H versus Hartford 3rd 11 Division 6A. Hemel 3rds moved top in Division 6A with a win over Hartford's 3rds, which was more difficult than their earlier win at Balls Park. The man in form, Cam Akhtar, was the star for Hemel, scoring 157, 25 fours and 2 sixes from 170 balls, the highest 3rd 11 league score for Hemel. He and Max Clark put on 188 for the 3rd wicket as Hemel Hempstead amassed 299 for 6 from their 50 overs. But Hartford had a revival as their opener Rahul Sharma hit 133, 20 fours and 3 sixes, as Hartford chased until they were all out for 283 over 48.3 overs. Wickets were shared amongst bowlers in twos, but in words of Hemel's skipper, it was a close-run thing. 4th 11A versus Preston 3rd 11 Division 8 West. Back to winning ways for Hemel 4ths as they won over at Preston to do the double. Preston were bowled out for 129 in 38.3 overs, with the seam of Akshay Shah doing the damage with 6 for 14 from 6 overs. Hemel then struggled a bit to get to 132 for 8 from 28.3 overs. Skipper Neil Morgan hit 35, but it was Akshay Shah again who made 29 to guide Hemel home. Hemel are now 5th in division with home game next week against top of the division Redbourne, 3rd 11. 5th 11H versus Lee Hill, 2nd 11 Division 12 West. Back to top of table for Hemel 5ths as they crunched Lee Hill 2nds. Putting them in to bat, Lee Hill made 219 for 8 from their 40 overs, with only Ajay Savania, 3 for 27, taking more than one wicket. Then, after the early departure of Marlon Stewart, with the score on 43, the skipper Tony Linfoot, 100, and vice-skipper Jim Langley, 81, put on the rest of the runs to complete a 9-wicket victory.
Lee Allinson hailed a hard 3 points after his Hemel Hempstead Town side won 1-0 at Slough last weekend. Joe White's 4th-minute header was the difference between the two sides as the Tudors claimed their first win of the campaign with a trip to Maidenhead United on Tuesday night played after this week's Gazette had gone to press, next on the horizon. Alison told the club's media it was a tough battle. Mauro Villette sent off for a second yellow card in stoppage time, but Hemel held on. Alison said, "It was a hard game, I think like every single game in this league is going to be. I thought for the first 20 minutes we were excellent, really in the ascendancy, front-footed and playing some nice stuff and scoring a really good goal. Then I just felt we got embroiled into a battle that we didn't need to get into and invited pressure. But I thought our fitness levels were brilliant again as we matched Slough. We're not there yet, but it was all about grit, determination, and I thought defensively we were brilliant. We changed shape to accommodate their shape and it worked. So overall, I think it's a great day. It's 1-0, it's away from home, and we won our first game in the league, which is always important." After the midweek Maidenhead game, attention then turns to a bank holiday double header as Hemel host Dorking Wanderers on Saturday before going to one of the league's new additions, Dagenham and Redbridge, on Monday. Alison added, "We'll approach every game as one game at a time, but if you do see our fixtures now over the next 5 or 6 games, it's very intense against full-time teams and even National League or playoff teams from last year. So we've got to go there and be big and strong and try to play when we can, but also defend our box."
We are coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 05:59 and 20:09. Thank you to our sponsor, RL Supplies, who can be found at rlsupplies.co.uk. Don't forget, for those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. If you wish to listen on Alexa, say, "Alexa, open the talking newspaper skill." Follow this with "Play Decorum Talking Newspaper." Remember, information on local amenities and services follow after the final music of this recording of the news on the memory stick. Please remove your memory stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Turn the label over and post it back to us at the Adafield Community Centre, The Queen's Square, Hemel Hempstead, HP24EW, using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening, and until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Andrew, your technician for this week.